I believe that's all the way through eternity. Amen. Extended nursery is going down. So if you work in extended nursery or you're helping, going down. Thankful for everyone that's here today. Thankful for all our visitors. And trust you've been made welcome in God's house this morning. I tell folks all the time that we got a good church down here. I invite folks. I don't tell them I'm the pastor. I just tell them they got a good church down here. I said, the preacher ain't much, but he preaches a great word. So that's what we can brag on this morning is Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's not about me. It's about him. And that's our goal this morning is to point you to Jesus. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with us, if you would, into Revelation chapter number 3. While you're turning, just ask you to remember, as Brother Jim said, we got a lot of folks sick. Brother Joe was here. He'd been sick this week, and he was here this morning and got sick and had to leave during Sunday school. So pray for him. Pray for Sister Sherry. She texted last night and said that she'd got the bug. She was staying home. So we know there's a multitude of folks that are dealing with sickness and everything that's going on, everything that's going around. So pray for one another. Amen. And just pray that God would get us through it. And if you have found Revelation chapter 3, we'd invite you to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word. We're going to begin reading in verse number 14. The Bible says in Revelation 3:14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace? Amen. You may be seated. The book of Revelation scares a lot of folks, but the book of Revelation has been written and was given to be an encouragement to God's people, an encouragement to the church. We generally give the introduction in our Sunday school class. We're studying Revelation right now, that Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ by Jesus Christ. Amen. He gave it himself, and he spoke the things that the Apostle John wrote down so that the Apostle John could encourage the church. He was instructed to write letters to the seven churches which were in Asia. These seven churches were seven physical churches that existed in and out throughout Asia Minor. And each one of these churches has a historical city that was attached to them. And though they were actual physical churches, these seven churches also represent seven periods within the history of time that the church age has existed, and the things that have gone on and have happened throughout the church age and throughout the things that we see that have transpired. Some good, some not so good. Some even to a place of almost destroying the church completely. In the church in Sardis, in the beginning of chapter 3, things were so bad. But praise God, the Bible said that even in Sardis, there were some. No matter how bad it gets, there's always a spark. Amen. there's always an ember. Amen. Even in this world today, there's still some that are trusting Jesus and still believe Jesus. The Church of Philadelphia is the picture of the model church, the perfect church. It's the only one of the seven churches that God had nothing to say about. And then we come to the Church of the Laodiceans. And the Church of the Laodiceans, I believe, is the age in which we are living in today. It's the age that the church is existing in as we speak right now. And as we look at this, we're going to see some things. But not only are these seven churches, seven physical churches, not only are they representative of the church age and the different changes and the different times we see in the period of the church age, but they're also representative of the church that's in the world today. You can see these things transpiring, these things happening and going on in the church around the world today. Some are close and some are far away. Some are faithful and some are allowing apostasy to slip in. Some are a model church and some are lukewarm churches. And we can see all these in the individual churches. And as we look at the church as it is functioning around the world, how things have come and things have gone. Some things that need to be there have been taken out. Some things that should have been taken out have been allowed in. Amen? But we can see in all these things a picture of the church today. But most importantly, these seven churches are a picture of our individual lives. After all, the church is nothing more than the believer today. The church isn't this building. The church isn't having your name on this roll. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is those who have trusted Christ as their Savior and have surrendered themselves unto Him. He is the church. She is the church. It's not the building. And we need to get out of this frame of mind that this is the building, and we need to start thinking that I am the church. Amen. And that's what's missing, I think, in so much of our collective corporate worship, is that we've lost sight of the fact that I am the church. Amen. It's not the building. It's not this place. It's wherever I go with Jesus in my heart. I am the church. Amen. And I need to uphold the church, and I need to picture the church. And as Jesus sends John and instructs John to write the letter to the church of Laodicea, he's letting them know there's some things. You're not right, but you can be. Amen. And that's what I want to preach to you this morning. And I want you to remember, this message is for you this morning. If you're a Bible-believing, a Christ-fearing, a Jesus-accepting, a blood-bought, born child of God, you are the church. If you're not a part of the church this morning, this message is for you, because you're not right, but you can be. Amen. If you'll trust Jesus and allow Him into your heart, you can be a part of something bigger than you ever imagined, something bigger than you ever figured could happen or transpire. As he begins this letter to the church of Laodicea, in verse number 14, he mentions where they are. It's Laodicea. Now, we've done said that. I want you to understand something about their environment. You know, the environment that we live in has an effect on the health of the individual. Amen. You look at disease in third world countries, it's because of the environment they live in. They have certain diseases that are there, but because of the place they live, the environment that they're in, they don't have the means to deal with the diseases that affect them. And it's important that we see the environment that this church was in. Laodicea was a wealthy city. It was a Roman city, and like many cities, it was built for the purpose of Hellenistic worship and Hellenistic rituals and things of this sort. It was famous for its textiles and for an eye salve that they made there that was a shipped all over the world. We understand not only was Laodicea, a rich city. It was a prominent city that figured into the Roman and Greek cultures and their religions. We had talked in our adult Sunday school class about one of the other cities that had a great temple that was built to the healing god Asclepius. Now, if you all have ever seen that picture of the snake and the staff that the doctors wear, that little pin that many doctors wear, that's an Asclepius. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Nobody can tell me correctly. But that's a representative of this Greek god of healing. And what they would do, they would take you to the temple of Asclepius. And Deb, you might want to plug your ears because this is going to just make your skin crawl. And they would take you to the temple and they would take you and place you in a room. And they would allow the snake god, Asclepius, these gods to crawl all over your body. And that is how you were healed by allowing the snakes just to crawl all over you. And it just makes my skin crawl to think about it. Amen. The only good snake is a dead snake. Amen. I don't care if you think he's a god or not. Amen. He's going to be a dead snake around me. Amen. And I know there's going to be some tree hugger somewhere that's going to tell me not to kill the snakes. They have good. I know there's good snakes, as they say, but I've never met one. Amen. I've never come across one. Amen. So we'll just leave it at that. But there was a great temple to the god of Asclepius there. And it was one of the larger temples that had been built to him. Their water supply came from the mountains. And the thing about their water supply, and you'll understand more about this in the letter that was written to him. It came from a hot spring. It traveled 6 miles from the mountain of Hilaropolis, blah, 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 blah. One of them Greek names. It traveled through an aqueduct down 6 miles into the city. It come from a hot spring. It started out as hot, and by the time it got to the city, it had cooled down to where it was lukewarm. It wasn't cold and refreshing. It wasn't hot and useful. It was just old lukewarm water. They were rich. They were a powerful city. And after their great earthquake in 60 A.D., when the emperor offered to help them and send up the funds and send resources to help to rebuild the city. They refused all the help because they were a wealthy and a rich city and they didn't need anybody from the outside to do anything for them whatsoever. Does that sound like somebody you might know? Amen. We don't want the help. We think we got this all covered on our own. And sometimes we got to realize that our environment will have an effect on us spiritually. Amen. It'll have an effect on us physically, but praise God, it also has an effect on us spiritually. That's why it's important for God's people to be in God's house. You need an environment where God's people will have an effect on you that's positive, have an effect on you that will bring a life-changing atmosphere to your life. Also realizing their environment, and their environment probably played a lot into what was going on in the church here at Laodicea. Next look at their symptoms. Here in verse number 14, it says, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the God of creation." First, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand who it is that's given the diagnosis of their symptoms. It's not some preacher pointing his old bony finger down at the congregation. Amen. It's not some evangelist that has come in from the outside that is standing sanctimoniously and telling everybody what their problem is. It was Jesus himself that was diagnosing the problem. He's noted here as the Amen. You know what Amen means? It means so be it. Amen. And if he says it, you can write it down. If he says it, you can bank on it. If he says it, you better take it to heart. And he's the one that is giving the diagnosis. He's the one this morning that is diagnosing your life. He's diagnosing my life. Amen. And he's telling us what it is that's hindering us and what's hurting us. He's the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And remember, Jesus is the one speaking here. I remember, he's the the one that's given the diagnosis, the one who is the faithful and true witness. If he says it, it's truth. It don't matter what you think, feel, or believe. Amen. And if it applies to your heart and if it applies to your life, it's truth this morning. Amen. You can accept it or you can reject it, but it doesn't change the fact that it's truth. It's getting quiet. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Your word is truth. Amen. Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. I tell you what we need this morning is some truth. Well, what's missing in America today is truth. People can't deal with truth. And then he's the beginning of the creation of God. It doesn't mean he was the first fruit. It means he's the source. Amen. Before the world existed, there had to be a beginning. Before the world was spoken into existence, there was a beginning. There was a God that always is and always was and always will be. Amen. And he spoke a world into existence. I was telling one of the kids, they were talking about, they're teaching them about the Big Bang Theory. I said, well, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I said, the Lord spoke and bang, it happened. Amen. That's the Big Bang Theory. Amen. That's the only Big Bang Theory that makes any sense. What always amazed me, they can't believe in a God that always was, but they can believe in all this stuff that was there to cause a Big Bang. Amen. Everything happened out of chaos. Everything happened out of nothing. Well, if it happened out of nothing, where did all that nothing come from? Hey, man. I mean, let's get real. Let's get real. We got to understand that the one that is given the diagnosis here is the one that spoke this world into existence. He's the one that took and formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed in him the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Amen. He's the one who had a plan of salvation, a plan of redemption, a plan of restitution for mankind before mankind had even sinned. He's the one that knew the end from the beginning, and he knows the beginning from the end. And praise God, he's the one that has it all worked out, the one that has it all figured out, and the one that has it all laid down in his word. I praise God, he's the one that's given the diagnosis here. He's the one that's speaking to what's wrong with you right now. The diagnosis is this. So then, because he says in verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, but I would that thou wert cold nor hot. Now, in verse 16, he says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You see, the problem here is not that they're just having a little ailment, a little bug, a little flubber. They have become lukewarm. The Lord said, I wish that you were one way or the other. Why would he want you to be cold? Because a cold heart is receptive to the word of God. Man, it's getting tight in here this morning. Amen. Some folks are just closing up. The amens are getting scarce. God would rather you just be an outright all-in-all sinner and realize that you have a need that only he can meet than he would for you to be lukewarm. You know what the problem is with a bunch of lukewarm Christians? They don't see the need any longer. They don't see the desire any longer. They don't want to be drawn to God any longer. Amen. They're happy right where they are. They're happy playing church. They're happy playing Christian. They're happy doing a lot of things. But God says, I wish that you would just either be one way or the other. I'd rather have a cold individual that I can get to, a cold individual that I can draw, a cold individual that would see their need than You ever know anybody goes to the doctor and then they want to tell the doctor how to treat them? Hey, man. They go to the doctor and they start instructing the doctor. Hey, man. Some folks like that. I go to the doctor because I know I'm sick. Hey, man. And when I get to the doctor, I just want him to do what he does. Hey, man. I don't care if he has to dance over me with a dead chicken or something. If that's what's going to make me better, make me better. Amen. If that's what it's going to take, that's what it's going to take. I was talking to Nancy's family at the hospital, and they were talking about her brother's, pray for her brother Shorty tomorrow. He's having open heart surgery and bypass surgery tomorrow. Just pray for him, if you would, that God would just get a hold of his heart, get a hold of his life, and let him feel peace and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's in control. Amen. And that God will guide the doctors and direct them. And we was talking about all these different things. I said, look, when they're doing something to me, I don't even want to know what it is. I don't want you coming in and telling me they come in and they go, well, Mr. Gilbert, we're going to cut you down here, and then we're going to do, I don't want to know that. Amen. All I need to know is that it needs to be done. Amen. Don't tell me all that stuff. I don't want to know. I just need to know that I need you because you're the doctor. Amen. Amen. And I know that I can't do this on my own. I read one time about that doctor that gave himself an appendix. It took his appendix out in Antarctica. There was no doctor. They couldn't get a doctor to him. And he had to give himself his own anesthesia. He had to cut himself open. And he had to go in and take his own appendix out because there was no one else that was there that could do it. I would have died. Amen. I can gut a deer. It don't mean a thing to me. Amen. Man, people come up to the house and they kill deer and didn't want me to come gut it for them. Amen. Can't the kids? Why not? I don't know. I said, well, come here. I'll show you. Well, here, you got. Finally, I just wind up having to do it. Amen. It don't mean anything, but man, you get cutting on me. I don't want to know nothing about it. All I know is I need the doctor. Amen. I need the nurse. I need the medical people to do it. The medical people. You know why? Because I realize I have a need that I can't meet for myself. God said, I would rather that you would be cold. Then you would realize you had a need. You know what's wrong in our churches? Our churches have forgot that we need Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Our churches have forgot what a difference Jesus makes in our life when we let him in. Christian child of God, I'm talking to you. I don't care what name, what church role you got your name on. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how many times you've been to the altar. If you're a child of God, he would rather you be cold than a lukewarm Christian. He would rather you realize that you have a need than to try to live in your own strength and in your own power and according to your own will and your own dictates. He would rather you be completely cold and completely dependent upon him. He said, I'd rather you be cold or hot. Amen. You know, when you're trying to diagnose something, one of the first things they do is they take your temperature. Amen. And if you're sick and you don't have a temperature, they start scratching their head. You know, if you're sick and you got a temperature, they know something's wrong. Amen. But when you don't have a temperature, it's hard to figure out what's going on. You know, God's people are the same way. We need to have a temperature. Amen. We need to be burning up. We need to be on fire for God. We need to be just the opposite of what the cold people are that realize they have the need. We need to be the ones that have realized that and are so happy that God has met our needs, that we just stay on fire. We want to stay close to him. We want to be near him. We want him to have his will and have his way. He said they've got a problem. He says you're lukewarm. You got a problem. You can't get well yourself. I wish that you were one way. I wish that you were the other way. He said, but you're not. You're lukewarm. You're just like that old water that comes into your city. It's not refreshing because it's lukewarm. You know, anybody, I don't know about you, but when I'm hot and I'm dying of thirst, I don't want lukewarm water. I want a nice cold drink of water. It don't have to be ice cold, but I want it cool, clear. I want to sip on something that's going to be refreshing. Amen. Now I work around the farm. I carry a bottle of water and I carry them in. I got them in the tractor. I got them sitting here and there. In the wintertime, it's pretty good because they stay cold if I don't drink them all. But man, sometimes I'll be way down the backfield, away from the house, and I pick up that old bottle of water. I'm dying of thirst and mowing or doing whatever I'm doing. I'll grab that water I took out there with me and I'll drink it and it's done got hot. And about the first drink, first big swallow, you take it up there, that's warm. But then you drink it anyway because it's all you got. Amen. You just have to, but I want to be refreshed. Amen. Why? You know why I come to the house of God? I want to get refreshed. Amen. I don't want a bunch of lukewarm stuff. I don't want to hear a bunch of lukewarm singing. I don't want to hear a bunch of lukewarm preaching. I don't want to hear a bunch of lukewarm teaching. I don't want to be around a bunch of lukewarm people. I want to be around some people that are going to refresh me. Amen. Either light me up or cool me down. Amen. I want something that's going to affect a change. Amen. The Lord says you're sick. You're sick. You've got lukewarmitis. You know what's wrong with Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church this morning? We got too many people in this church that are lukewarm. Ooh, preacher. Oh, you done made everybody mad. Oh, preacher. They ain't gonna listen. Listen. I'll tell you something. Sometimes the pastor gets lukewarm. Sometimes the deacons get lukewarm. Better be saying amen, deacons. And support your pastor. Amen. Sometimes the singers get lukewarm. Sometimes they just go through the motions. Amen. And there's no feeling. There's no spirit within it. Amen. We're lukewarm. Sometimes we just come to church because we have to. Well, I haven't been in a while. Maybe I better just show my face. Haven't been around in a while. Maybe somebody needs to see me. Jesus, now this is Jesus. He said, I wish that you were hot or cold. He said, I wish that you would get out of your lukewarmness and get on fire. Amen. Amen. We wonder why our young people don't want to stick around. Why stick around here? It's just a bunch of lukewarm people. And you know, I don't see anything that's so exciting about this. Well, my lands, let's let them see something exciting.
Yeah. Amen.
You know how to get it? Get them excited. Get on fire for Jesus. Amen. Quit being lukewarm. Get on fire. Show them that you have a need. Let them realize their need. And amen, they'll be drawn. Look, the prognosis, their diagnosis, that they're sick. They have some symptoms that need to be worked on. And they're lukewarm. And we need to work on that same thing in our lives today. Amen. But what caused the lukewarmness? What caused them to become this way? How is it that this church and that's here in the city with a great Jewish population, it's got a great religious affiliation, and it's got all these things going on. It's got great wealth, and it's got great prosperity. It's got everything that you could want in an environment and in a neighborhood. But the things on the outside have creeped into the inside. How do you get sick? How do you catch the flu bug? Something gets inside of your body. Amen. Something gets inside of your body and makes you sick. Isn't that so? Now, you can all say amen to that. All right? That's a fact. The only way you get sick is something from the outside gets in. How do you think the church gets anemic and gets sick? Amen? We let something from the outside get in. That's just what's happened here at Laodicea. Look in verses 17 to 20. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Amen. And verse 20, and behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. All praise his name today. The cause is because they've let the things on the outside get on the inside. Look in verse number 17. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Praise God. how their pride had got the best of them. How we pride ourselves in being self-made people. We pride ourselves in the prosperity that God has blessed us with. Amen. Until we start looking at the things we have and saying, I only have these things because God has gave them to me. I only have these things because God has poured His blessings down upon me. I only have these things because of God's goodness to me. Praise God. We're prideful and we're trying to exclude God from everything that He's blessed us with. Man, I can't exclude God from the blessings. I can't exclude God from the air that I breathe. Amen. I can't exclude God from the food that I eat. I can't exclude God from anything that I have. My bank account is what it is by the grace of God. It's not as big as some, but it's not as small as others. Amen. But praise God, it is what it is by the grace of God. Amen. The car I drive, it's not as fancy as some, but praise God, it's not as bad as others. Amen. I could be driving a Lamborghini or a Maserati or something else or a Bentley. I seen a Bentley the other day. Them things is ugly. I don't see why in the world these celebrities want to pay $500,000 for something that ugly. We was at the Royal Farms the other day, and I was getting gas, and I told my wife, I said, see, that's a Bentley over there. That's one of them cars all them rich people want. They're all looking for a Rolls Royce and all that junk, and it's just plumb ugly. I mean, I don't care what you... Remember the old yellow cabs? They never changed from the 1950s to they quit making them in the 80s, I think. The body style never changed. It looked the same. It was the same. That's what a Bentley looks like to me. It's one of them old yellow cabs. It don't look any prettier now. But because it's got a name on it, we got to have it. I don't drive a Bentley. I drive a Ford. Amen. It's not a new Ford. It's an old Ford. Amen. It's not as fancy as what some people have, but praise God, it's not what some people have. Amen. I remember the days when I drove a Rolls Canardly. Rolls down one hill and Canardly make it up the next. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to drive that thing anymore. I'm glad I can drive what I have now. Everything I have, I know I have simply because of the blessings of God upon my life. Amen. I'm not as good off as well off and maybe as good looking as some people, but I am what I am. I've been made in the image of God. And as ugly as I am, God has made me in His own likeness and His own image. Hallelujah. Amen. And I got to just be satisfied with what God has given me. Hey, he knew the world couldn't handle any more of me, I guess. Amen. But praise God, I am what I am. And I have what I have simply because of God's goodness. See, when we start letting our pride get in the way, we start stopping seeing our need for Jesus. Amen. You ever notice how it seems when people become more successful, they don't want to associate with some people anymore. They don't want to. People that they used to associate with aren't good enough to hang around them now. That's the way we get spiritually when we start thinking too highly of ourselves. We don't need them people down at the church. I've got all this. We don't need those people down at the church. Well, I'm better looking than they are. We don't need those people down at the church. My bank account's bigger than theirs is. We don't need those people down to church. But the Bible says we need to edify and to encourage and to strengthen one another. We always need those people down to the church. Amen. Sometimes those people down to church are there to lend you a helping hand. And many times I've called people in the church to come lend me a helping hand. And people in the church call me and say, brother, I need some help. And, you know, I'm not above getting my hands dirty. As a matter of fact, I'd rather be doing something getting dirty, be honest with you, than sitting around having to study all the time. That's just the way I am. Don't get me wrong, I like studying God's Word. I like studying, I like reading. But I'm a person that likes doing. Amen. Yeah. Help Rick the other day. We pulled Joyce's pump up. We're both paying for it, but 200 foot. Pull it out, drag it down through the woods, find out what's wrong with it, and put it all back down the same hole we just took it out of. Amen. My back's paying for it. Rick's is paying for it. Amen. But praise God, I was happy to do it. Amen. Glad to do it. I need God's people. I need God's presence in my life. And I can't exclude God from any part of my life. Because if I exclude him from any part of my life, I'm saying it's all about me. Amen. And it's not all about me. He says, you say I'm rich. But do you realize you can think about yourself whatever you want to think? And you can look at your circumstances and you can look down your nose at other people all you want to. But God can, in just a minute, take it all away. Amen. Amen. I've seen people that were living what everybody considers the high life, lose everything. And then all the friends that they had are nowhere to be found. You remember the prodigal son? When he had all his inheritance and he was out just partying and having a good time, he had all kinds of friends. But when the money was all gone, he didn't have anything but the pigs. He had to eat with the pigs that he was feeding. And finally, he remembered where help was. He remembered where he was a somebody before he made himself a nobody. Amen. The cause of their lukewarmness was their pride. They got all wrapped up in themselves. Then in verse 18, we see not only did they have pride, but they had spiritual anemia. Amen. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Lord says, what you need, I have. Let me tell you something. What you need today, what this world needs today, isn't more things. We need more Jesus. Amen. It isn't more of things to come. We don't need fancier churches. People can get saved in a brush arbor along the road somewhere. We don't need fancier things within our churches and fancier pews. People have got saved in places where they never have an opportunity to sit on a pew. Praise God. What we need is more Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, I counsel thee to buy of me. I have what you need, amen. And what you need is free. Look at what he said down in Isaiah chapter 55. He said, buy without money, buy without price, amen. He said, you can come to me and get what you need because I got what you need. And if you don't come to me, you're going to start suffering from spiritual anemia. I'm saved by the blood. I'm kept by the blood. I'll go home by the blood. Amen. And when I stop seeing the need for the blood, amen, I'll start suffering spiritual anemia. That's what's happened. That's why Christians grow lukewarm. They've lost sight of where their help comes from. That they've lost sight of where their strength. You know, what's anemia? Your blood counts go down. Got nurses in here, ain't that right? You get anemic, they need to boost your blood. Amen? I tell you something. The further we get away from Jesus, the further we get away from that blood, the further we get away from remembering just what he's done for us. The greatest price that was ever paid was paid with the blood of Jesus. The greatest gift that was ever given was given in the blood of Jesus. When he laid down his life on that old rugged cross, And the further we get away from him, the further we get away of being reminded, being stirred, being moved by our need for the blood and what the blood does in our life. You can go on trips, you can go away, you can do this and you can do that, and that's all well and good, and there's nothing wrong with going away. But let me ask you this. How many of you, when you go away for the weekend, make it a point to find a place to go to church that weekend? How many of you, when you go away on vacation, do you make a point before you go someplace to search out the place where you're going and to know the church that you're going to go to when you get there on that Wednesday night? Good church on Wednesday night. And Sunday, I'm going to waste my vacation going to church. Well, friend, we need to stay close to Jesus.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. I guess if Jesus takes vacations on you, can anybody say, Jesus ever took a vacation on you? Amen. And why would you take a vacation on him?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, I've got everything you need. And it's free. I got everything that you need. But you have to take it. You have to ask for it. You have to want it. You have to desire it. I've got what you need. But do you want it? The problem and the reason for their lukewarmness was they didn't want what God had for them. I don't know about you, but I want more every day.
Amen.
Amen. I want more tomorrow than what I have today of what God can give me. Man, I love it when God just blesses my heart and God speaks to me. Or I'm just alone by myself working over in my shop or something, and I can just get over there and just start singing a hymn or singing an old gospel song or something, and God just blesses.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to get away from that.
Yeah.
Amen. I got Jesus in my car. When I turn the radio on, I'm not listening to the world. I'm listening to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I got Bibles everywhere. Man, you come to my shop, you can find Bibles. You go down to my basement, you'll find a Bible. You go to my chair, you'll find two or three Bibles. You go to the bathroom, you'll find Bibles. Amen. I don't care where you go in my house, you're going to find a Bible. I don't care if you're around me, you go somewhere, you're going to find the Bible. You get in my truck, there'll be two or three Bibles. In my car, there's two or three Bibles. Amen. I don't care where it is, the Word of God's there. You know why? Because I know I need God's Word. I need what He has to say. And I got to desire it, and I got to want it. Their pride kept them away. They have need of nothing. They didn't accept what he offered. Verse 18. They were suffering from a heart problem because they didn't want to repent. Verse 19. You know what keeps you from repentance? Hardness of heart. Amen. You know, there's a whole lot of Christians today that need some heart surgery done by the great physician.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we got to tell the Lord to just touch my heart again. Soften my heart again.
Yeah.
God said he would take the heart of stone out of his people and he would put in a heart of flesh. We got to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't like the way my heart has become. Change it. I don't like the way I become. I become aloof and I become apathetic, and I've got to the place where I don't care about you any longer. Lord, stir my heart. Do a work in my heart. I'll tell you some folks in here today that need some heart work done. There's some folks this morning that need to be on the altar, need to be asking Jesus to do a work in their heart. Because we've lost sight of what you know what the word repent means? You know, God repented. You understand? I want you to understand that. It's not just being sorry for your sin.
Yeah.
It's taking action.
Yeah.
Repentance means to change direction, to change your mind, to go the opposite way. God was going to do some things, and then people intervened, and God repented of what he was going to do.
Yeah.
He wasn't wrong. Wasn't saying that he was wrong. The Bible's saying that he changed his mind. He changed his direction. He changed his course. That's what Jesus said we need to do. The problem is we need some repentance in our churches. We need some repentance in the church, the individual heart, the individual life. Some people that are willing to say, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to quit looking at the things of the world and putting the things of the world as more important than the things of God. I'm going to make God the most important thing in my life, and I'm going to repent of the things that have kept me from getting closer to him. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. But he gives us a choice. Verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You see, the problem is most of us know we have a need. And if you didn't know you had a need when you got here, you do now. Because I've done told you what your need is. God's Spirit is dealing with your heart. He's telling you what your need is. But he's also telling you what you need to do to meet that need. My wife said, we've been trying to sell a piece of property, and I was trying to do it without getting realtors involved. And she says, look, if you want to get shoes, you got to get in the shoe store. Amen. If you want to sell the property, you're going to have to get a realtor. Amen. It's the same thing with the Lord. Amen. If you want to get what he's got, you got to get to where he's got it. Or you got to make a decision. You got to make a choice. Revelations 3 and 20 is a verse that is written to the church. I want you to understand that. If you're saved this morning, you are part of the church. It's also a good verse for those who aren't in the church, but it was written specifically this in this instance right here. It's written to the church. If you want help, you got to make a decision. If you want to change in your life, you've got to make a decision. Look at what Jesus said. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. The Lord's standing outside. You know what the problem is? You know why you're lukewarm? You know why you don't care anymore? You don't have the Lord in your heart where he needs to be. He's standing outside. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will open, I will come in. What's that tell you? He's outside. Who's he writing to? He's writing to the church. He's writing to you. He's writing to me. He wants to come in. He wants to sit on the throne of your heart. He wants to fellowship and sup with you. He's knocking and calling them, and he ultimately wants us to know that he's waiting and he's wanting to come in. It's our choice to let him in. He said, and if any man, where's that? I'm on the wrong verse. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, it's our choice. He won't force himself in. He won't force himself upon you. He won't force you to get hot. He won't force you to be cold. He won't force you to do anything, but he wants to be there. He wants to set you on fire. He wants to fill you and overwhelm you and bless you, but you're keeping him from doing what he wants to do. He says, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Man, I tell you what, there's no greater fellowship than fellowship with the Spirit. There's no greater fellowship than fellowshipping with the Lord when he comes by to visit. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, I'll be in the midst also. Amen. Psalm 22 says that God inhabits the praises of Israel. You get to praising God, He inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. He wants to be a part. He wants to come in, but He won't force Himself in. He won't force Himself into your heart today. He won't force Himself into your life today. He won't force Himself into your riches today and into everything else you got today. But if it all disappears tomorrow, don't blame Him. Because you didn't invite Him in to keep it. Our relationships fall apart. Our families are falling apart. Our churches are falling apart. Our world is falling apart. Our nation is falling apart. Why? Because we refuse to let Jesus in. We refuse to open the door of opportunity, the door that He gives us. You're not right. Your symptoms betray it. You're not right. The cause reveals it. You're not right, but you can be. The prognosis is good. Amen. Look at what he says in verse 21. Let's go to the last part of verse 20. He said, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my fathers in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look, there's nothing sweeter than communion with the Spirit. There's nothing sweeter than communion with God. But He don't want communion in a lukewarm place. He said that it's horrible. He said He'll spew it out of His mouth. He wants to set your soul on fire. He wishes that you were so cold that you realized that there was no one else that could help you, nothing else that could help you but Him, so He could set your soul on fire. He would wish that you were so hot and so on fire that He could kindle that steam and kindle that fire even more. You know what? Big ships that run on steam, most of them, many of them, even the nuclear ships, steam and electric, right? And the thing of it is, there's two kinds of steam. There's a saturated steam, which is a wet steam. And that's not real useful. It causes a lot of problems. But there's a steam that is so hot, it's so dry, it can't be seen, but it can cut you in half. When they hunt for steam leaks on a ship, if they fear they have a steam leak, we're always told to use a broom. And you take a broom and you walk down a pipeline and you move the broom up and down, and when that steam leak is found, you'll know it because it'll cut the broom right in half. See, God don't want us just to be on fire. He wants us to be on fire. You know, that saturated steam, it has some purposes and some uses and is used somewhere. But, man, that unsaturated steam, it doesn't have the things that are holding it back and the weight you carry. It's able to do some things like you can't imagine. He can take his great old big hulk and hunk of hundreds of tons of steel and propel it through the water. Like you twisted up a rubber band or something. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to come in and He wants to commune with you and kindle a fire that kindles something in your life that goes beyond what's common and what's ordinary and what's comfortable to most people. And then He said, not only can we have communion with Him, We can have rule with him. 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12 says that it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. God says you're lukewarm. I wish you were one way or the other. He says you're lukewarm, won't you get hot? You're lukewarm, won't you get on fire? You're lukewarm, won't you let me do something in you like you've never experienced before? You know, every time we allow God to move in our heart in a special way, we don't think we could ever be moved like that again, but he comes back and the next time it's even better. That's why junkies that get hooked on heroin and stuff, they want, because they're wanting that feeling to come back. The next time, it'll be just as good or it'll be better than it was the last time. And our bodies crave that. We should crave that in ourselves spiritually. And we'll be with God. Grant to sit with me as I sat with my Father. In his prayer in John 17, the Lord prayed, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. I don't know about you, but I want to be one with Jesus. I want to be a part of everything that he has to offer. The cure for lukewarmness is really easy. It's really simple. It's for you to open the door and to let Jesus in. If you want to see Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church as a corporate body be able to do something, it's going to be up to you to open the door to let Jesus in. If you want to be used of God in a mighty way, it's going to be up to you to open the door to let Jesus in. You're not right if he's not first and the most important thing in your life. You're not right. But you can be. As Brother Jim and Sister Mary get a song of it.